do it like that.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord as we come on our need to celebrate homecoming.
I think it is something to celebrate. Because a lot of times, especially with churches, just because we were here in the past, they don't mean we have to be here today.
Right.
There are some churches who can't go home because the church no longer exists. It's shut down. It's closed down. But you still had a church that you grew up in, some of you, and you were still able to come home. Amen. Amen. So, and God's been good. Amen. Amen. God's been good. Amen. Some of you in our community, where they've been burned down and other things, but you still had a church home that you could come home to. I'm so glad that God's been that good. So let's pray. God, we just thank you this morning for being our God, our Father. We thank you that we have a Father whose heart is for us. Whose heart is so much for us that you sent your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sin. Who loved us enough to wake us up this morning, started on our way, watched over those the dangerous highways. You've been good. You've been better to us than we've been to our own self. When we weren't good to you, you were still good to us. You gave us favor.
True.
That blessing that we deserve. We did not merit it. But you just blessed us because of your love. You're just that kind of God. My story brought us up till today, God. We don't know what this day or this week that's coming up holds. But we're glad to know you got it in your hand. And you got it all under control. And we just bow down to your power. Say, God, just have your will and have your way. Even in this service, God, right now, God, we just pray as the service prepares to share your word with your people. We want to share your word with this that's uplifting and makes them stronger when they're leaving this place. Thank you for all these that are gathered, for those that are listening at home, those that may be watching on the podcast or later on YouTube, wherever this message goes, we pray that those will be blessed. Most of all, we pray that somebody who has not yet had a chance to call your Savior, to call your Lord, that today will be their day, that they come and give their life to God and before it's everlasting to them. So thank you for your grace. God, we're just waiting on you to do amazing things that you always do. So we pray, God, that things will happen this morning and this week and this month and this year where souls and lives will be changed for eternity. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen, amen. Just in case you haven't heard, I think everybody has heard by now, but we did it because We're just going to read the first two. And I think when we get that third one, I think she's going to talk a little bit about the third one. I'm going to too, but I think she's going to really touch on that last one. We're going to read Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 and Matthew 16:18. Thank you, choir.
Amen.
Choir. Amen. We appreciate y'all. The first time they kind of decorate the sun together. Amen. We don't know what we're going to call choir, quartet, whatever we're going to call it. Find the name of it. We appreciate y'all. But y'all had the service. All right. First two. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, then Matthew 16:18. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed.
Yeah.
If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Mm-hmm. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated,
right,
but two can stand back to back and conquer.
Yeah.
Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Yeah.
Matthew 6:18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Well, let's don't go to that left. We read now. All right, all right. All right. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm.
Yeah.
For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of a way to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This morning. Look ahead. You know we entitled this morning's message, not home alone.
Okay.
Not home alone. Listen, I want to begin by sharing some insights that's going to help us look into our sermon. There was a movie that came out in 1990. So some of you young ones may have never seen it. You may want to go back and look at it. I think it's a really good movie. It is called Home Alone.
Right.
Home Alone. How many of y'all seen Home Alone?
Amen.
Yeah, most everybody here has seen Home Alone. And they got a lot of versions of Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4. But I'm talking about the original Home Alone.
Yes.
Because as they go on, they get weaker. Amen. But the original Home Alone. There was his family, and the protagonist or the star of this movie is Lil Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Lil Kevin. Lil Kevin is kind of the star. And Lil Kevin, and as the movie comes on, the family is getting ready to go on a Christmas vacation to France. Wow, so you know they have a little money. The family, the cousin, the uncle, they all get in together. Say, hey, we're going to go on a Christmas vacation. Amen. But they're not going to the ballpark like we have to do. They're going to France.
Right.
So they're getting ready. The relatives open. And it's like a house full of people. A lot of noise. A lot of hustling and bustling.
Yeah.
And rushing and preparing. Amen. And all of this is going on. And everybody trying to be heard. And while all this is going on, Lil Kevin is not satisfied with the way he's being treated. Seems like he's been looked over, not being treated fairly. Nobody's listening to him. Nobody sees his point of view. Amen. He's always in the light. He's always because he's what started right. The whole situation where food was everywhere. And finally, he just, they get on his mom and parents get on him, and finally his mom gets on him, and he just comes to a point. Uh-huh. He just says, hey, I wish I was alone. I wish I did not have a family. I wish I was here by myself. Okay. He took that a little far. Okay, he took that a little far, but you know, as his mom was trying to talk to him, he said, I hope tomorrow when I wake up, I wish I was never here. That's what he said. And mom was upset with him the way he was acting, so being kind of parents, she put him in on the third floor. I guess that's where I'm getting to tell you, on the third floor where nobody else was. Right. She put him up on the third floor, and things went on. You know, they went to sleep that night. I'm trying to do this quick, because I got to get to the real important part, but I want y'all to see what I'm talking about. Yeah, as it went on, that night, a strange thing happened in the neighborhood, and the lights went out. All the lights went out in the whole neighborhood. So when the lights came on, everybody got up late. They were already packing for to go to France, and they got up late. So everybody hustle, bustle, rushing, trying to get to the airport on time, trying to catch the plane on time. And you know, they went out, all the kids and all the adults went out to the car, and they had we got to make sure we got everybody. They had a head count. We got everybody. Mom came back because you know the mom wanted to be sure. Y'all sure you had it? You sure everybody? Yeah, I counted. The sister said, yeah, we counted them all. One of the older, she might have been a cousin. She said, we counted them all. Everybody's here. Okay? So she had counted them all. And then they go on a trip, you know, they go to the airport, run up to the airport, take the plane, get on the plane, and on the way to France, mom was saying, seems like we left something. Seems like something's missing. Then they start talking about maybe we left the garage door. Yeah, maybe we left the garage door. He said, no, that ain't it. She said, kept thinking. And then it finally came to Kevin.
Yeah.
We left Kevin. Yeah. And at that point in time, of course, everybody, since he was home alone, everybody was worried about Kevin. They lost Kevin. In the rushing and the hustle and bustle of home, they left him behind. That's the first thing I want to tell you. That we got to be careful with the rushing and hustle and bustle, because you may leave somebody behind. Sometimes even at church, my brothers and sisters, we have so much to do, so many things going on, so many things we have to tend to. That in the hustle and bustle of church, we leave people behind. People are not spoken to. People are not cared for. People are not shown interest in, because we are so focused on our own agendas. Sometimes there may be somebody that need a word of encouragement, but sometimes we're so intent on getting home as quickly as we can, or amen, I'm going to get to my game on time, or how we look, or things like that, that we leave people behind in the hustle and bustle of church life. Especially on days like this when you got food and ceremonies, it's easy to overlook because you got so many assignments to do. And especially in a church like ours where we don't have a lot of people. So you got more assignments sometimes than you have people. Easy to get left behind. But let's say that we always want to put people first.
Amen.
We want to be a church where nobody gets left behind.
Amen.
You may not be able to see, I can't get around to everybody. But we all work together. Everybody ought to be got around to by somebody.
Yeah.
Everybody ought to be spoken. Encouraged or feel made to feel that they belong or are loved by somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. If you don't have any other sign, you don't say choir, amen, or you don't have any, you're not a deacon or you're not whatever, a can say no.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had it. Yeah. Sometimes, and I want to tell you, churches are not perfect. Churches are not perfect.
Amen.
Because the people in churches
are not perfect.
Amen. And you got a whole lot of imperfect people together. There's no way the organism or organization can be perfect if everybody in it is imperfect. Amen. I try to tell people when they first come, I say, we're not perfect. If you find a perfect church and you join it, once you join it, it ain't going to be perfect. Because you're going to bring your imperfections. But sometimes we have to deal with a different personality type. Quiet, some people are quiet, some people are loud.
Amen.
Some people are compliant, some people are strong-willed.
Amen.
Some people are perfectionists.
Amen.
Some people that go along and get along. Some people, you got all these personality types. Amen. Some are kind. Some have bad weeks and haven't, cried out over the bad week they had. Some come in happy with joy. Some come in just barely making it. But if they come here, amen, when we all get together, that's what we should never be. Oh, best sinner should never be a prayer where a person feels they have to walk.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Because if they do, we fail out now. But when you come to a place with a sign that says church,
yeah,
you should never be sick. You should never be made to feel alone. So, as it goes on with the teddy. He's at the house alone.
Yeah.
And he's under attack. Because Marv in hell.
Yeah.
Two thieves that chased the neighborhood.
Right.
One portraying himself as a police officer with a police officer suit. But really, he's a thief. Everybody that wears a police officer suit ain't there to protect the service.
Right.
Sometimes they're there to serve themselves. Amen. But that was a situation. And they had decided that they were going to case out. So all these people were gone on vacation. But it was a rich neighborhood. Everybody's gone on vacation somewhere. And they decided to take the house of Kevin in and Kevin by himself. We don't want to be alone. When you're alone,
come on now.
There's a problem. I only want you to hold it. Hold it right there where you're at now. We're going to come back to that. Let me quickly get to some of the things I want to share with you, scripture, then we'll come back to that. But we got to keep that home alone when I come back. Listen, community. Community means people that have something in common that makes them one.
Right.
And the idea of community. Community is that have a connection, a relationship with people because you have something in common that makes you one. Quickly, there are three types of community that I want to look at from Scripture. And the first one is the community, and believe it or not, you need community.
Amen.
We were created for community. We were hardwired and made to have community. That's why in Genesis, I think, maybe 2:18. Genesis 2:18. It's not good for man to be alone. Adam, see, sometimes you think all you need is God. But it says it's not good for man. Adam had more God than any other believer ever had. He had God all by himself, perfect fellowship with God. Yet God said, Adam, even though you got all me and you got me going all by yourself, it's not good for man to be alone. So I'm going to make you a helpmeet that fits you. And he made Eve. All right. See, Bible says, a man that's found a wife finds a good person. Find a good God is saying, when you have faith on your life, I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish my purpose in your life. Adam, you can't accomplish a purpose. Amen. Man, you can't accomplish a purpose. You can't do that, Adam, because my purpose is for you to be fruitful and multiply. And as you replenish the earth, amen, the glory of God will fill the whole earth, because everybody on earth will reflect my glory. Yeah. You can't do that by yourself, Adam, because you won't have to, amen, become one flesh. You can't come because two will have to become one flesh. You can't, because two, one plus one in the Bible, amen, in marriage thing, often equals three.
Amen.
So when two become one flesh, it equals three. That's the Genesis of man. Genesis, man. So he said, you got two become one flesh, and you have children. And then the first community is the community of a home, of a family. As the first community, all of us know, is community of home and family. Amen. In most situations, there's a husband, wife, and children, and then a husband and wife as parents create an atmosphere that makes the child strong, feel love, and give them the ability to withstand whatever the world throws at them.
Right.
The family makes them. That's the first. But then he said, okay, after having that blessing and started the first family, not only that, he said, sometimes you got to have, amen, the community of faith.
All right.
That's what I want to call church.
Right.
That's why he said, Peter said, Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my what?
Church.
Amen. Yeah, I don't know how many. Let's say that again. Some of y'all, I don't know if y'all been to church. Where y'all been to church? Up on the rock, I will build my
church.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. So the church is a family. That's why everybody needs a church home.
Right, right.
This new thing going around, amen. People are, with the newer generation, you know, back in the day, we used to say, when somebody asked us about our church, I belong to you.
Yeah. Right.
We said, I belong to Great Memorial. I belong to Best Savior. But now in the new day, they say, I attend. Y'all don't hear me. I attend because they want the benefits of church without the responsibilities of church. Amen. See, when you're in a family, when you're in a community, not only do you enjoy the benefits, but you got to also be part of those that fulfill the responsibilities. But now, church called the church home, amen. Church home is like a family. It's like a family where you're nurtured and discipled, amen, and people lift you. And we'll talk a little bit more, but you know, so that's why you need it home. You need to get fed, right, amen. See, a church home, if you go to every church, you need, it's like a house. If you want that child to grow healthy, you got to have a diet that's healthy.
Right.
You got to have a healthy diet. So, in one place, they know what you're eating, okay? You know, whoever's responsible for preparing the food, say, healthy diet, I got this in green, you got this in vegetables, and meat, and protein. So, you got all that. And the parent, the good parent, amen, they able to give that. Because you know that child will get it. You want that child, and whoever in the family, the husband, the wife, also. Everybody have a healthy diet because you want them to grow up healthy. But if you move it to different houses,
right,
you may never get that diet. Because
right,
you went to one house, you went over here, and you got cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, okay, so, you know, it's all right to get cake if you get everything else.
Right.
But you went over here, you got cake, and then you say, okay, let me go over here. Let me go over here. And you got you some ice cream over here. Then you just go over here. And you went over here, you got you some apples. Oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. But then you went back over here. Amen. But then over here, you got another sweet. Tailpipe. So pretty soon, you're right. I'm saying, good thing about community help you preach. All you have to do for him, preach up here. You have you don't get out till you finish your plate. Right. Now, of course, probably an evening time. Yeah. I don't know if that still works. But that's the way we grew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why you need a church home. Because the leadership, the pastor, the teacher, want to give you a balanced diet.
Amen.
That makes you healthy.
Right.
They want to make sure you get everything healthy. They don't want you to just get a bunch of junk food. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because if it's in your mind, then you got a spiritual diabetes and you're unhealthy. God can't use you like you want to. All right, young women? Mm-hmm. So, like I said, you got the family, you got the church home, and then you got what I call a home of familiarity. That's that last one. Home of familiarity. That's like your neighborhood, your hood. Because you're familiar with things. Amen. If you live in a hood,
right.
You know what street not to go on,
right,
and what street to go on.
Amen.
You know where the bad characters hang out. You know where the good characters live. Right. You know good neighbor and bad neighbor. Amen. When you come back to that community, 10 years later, oh, this will still be some of the same folks hanging out with the couple. But you know, you feel familiar. Some of you who don't live in my hair. Amen. You live in other places, but when you come back and you're here today, you still get that feeling of home.
Yeah,
because these are the streets you grew up, the schools
right.
that you attended. Some of them still here. If not, you know where they were. You know the people here, some of the older people that were here when you were growing up. So you get that feeling of familiarity because your neighbors are here. And that's a community. God gave Adam and Eve a family when he gave Eve to Adam, then they had children. He didn't have a faith community. When he called Abraham, said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a great people. And then he gave them a community in a promised land. And people identified Jesus of Nazareth, Saul, amen, Saul of Tarsus. You identified by your community. And then the Jesus of Nazareth said, hey, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Maybe your community was like this. Mm-hmm. Well, good things can come out of any community.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So there was a good community. What are they? Family, faith, and familiarity. That's your home. That's your hometown. You know, when you know the Bible, you play. That's your hometown. When you know the grocery store over there, that's your hometown, where your home is. Oh,
right.
Amen. That's those people that are familiar to you. So all three of those are communities. And those communities a community has an assignment. So there are three types of communities. Now, quickly, I want to get you, because I'm trying to get before Cheryl comes in. The treasure of a community. See, there's a predicament of being home alone. When you're by yourself, you're out of community. Here's Teddy, home alone. And here he's like probably 8, 9, 7, somewhere over there. Maybe a little bit, maybe 8, 9, or 10. He's just a little kid. And here are these two grown men trying to verbalize his life. Now, Teddy, even though he was a small kid, he did have a big brain. And he made up all kinds of booby traps and traps and things to. To discourage those that were trying to get in his house, and then he was just laughing because of all the things that he was doing to him to survive, but he was by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, and close to the end of the picture, they actually, Marv and Harry, get him, and he's hanging on the door. You know, like you hang your coat up on the door, you know, and he's hanging on the door, your feet can't touch the ground. And he used it. And here are the things to finally get even with him. But,
my Lord,
there was another lonesome person that lived next door.
Right.
Now, Jesus Christ. Mr. Marley. Mr. Marley lived next door.
Right.
But that was alone because Mr. Marley had a disagreement. That's what I'm trying to say. We have disagreement. Don't expect a church to be perfect. You won't have to disagree.
Okay.
But because of Mr. Marley's disagreement, he had left his family. He was no longer permitted to be with his son. So one night, Mr. Marley was at church, and Kevin was at church.
Right.
And Kevin saw Mr. Marley at church, and he said, you wonder why are you at church? Because he heard all the bad stuff about Mr. Marley. He killed people because he always had a shower. He beat with the devil with the shower. But really, he used that shower to be a blessing to his neighbor when he cleaned up the slow sidewalk. But this thing, they thought it was. And Kevin said something. He said, why are you at church? Mr. Marley said something we all need to think about. He said, yeah, everybody's welcome at church.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Church ought to be a place where we go, everybody is welcome. He explained, I'm here to listen to my granddaughter. But because of the situation between me and my son, he won't let me see her. So I had to come to church to see my granddaughter. Sam. Kevin said, well, have you talked to her about it? Have you tried to resolve it? Because even little Kevin realized how important community was.
Right.
He said, no, I haven't talked to anybody. Maybe you ought to try talking to him.
All right.
So when Kevin was hanging up on that little hanger, helpless because he was by himself, the one that everybody in the neighborhood thought was a bad guy, Mr. Marley, came behind the thief and knocked him up with that same shower. He cleaned the sidewalk. He cleaned up the gates. Two lonely people got together and formed a community. Y'all with me so far?
Yes,
and that way he was saved. When you are lonely, you are vulnerable. Okay? Now listen. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So that's one of the, let's see what the word is. I'm going to share it. Predicament to being alone. When you're alone, the enemy, Satan wants you alone. Satan don't want you to have no church home. He don't want you in a strong Christian family. He don't want you to, he wants you alone. They're like a sheep alone. When the wolves come and the cowardice come, that sheep is in a bad predicament. That's why, amen, that good shepherd left the 99 sheep because he's the head community and went after the one sheep because he was all alone and he was vulnerable. So what do I get? What do I get from being in community? It's a choice. Let Jericho come out and quickly share this in their heart. I'm trying to quickly, I don't want to take a time because I don't leave anybody behind. But she's going to share one of the things you get out of being in the right community. And then I'm going to come back and see what we can finish this thing off. All right, share.
Pastor mentioned about our responsibility. Can you hear me? Pastor mentioned. Pastor mentioned about a part of being a church is not just the benefits of church, but there is a responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
There is something real quick.
There is a responsibility for being part of the church. And I do not find the word pew member in the Bible, but I do find purpose in the Bible. And so here we are looking at the church and how it provokes us to our purpose. That's not my line. You might want to write that down. Provokes us to our purpose. We just read in Hebrews, I believe it was 10, verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That means, that line to me says, I'm supposed to be doing something. Oh, somebody call
me.
I'm supposed to be doing something that affects change. It says good works.
Uh-huh.
Right.
How do we motivate and encourage each other toward good works? Well, you just heard me say that when I'm a part of a church, it provokes me to my purpose.
Perfect. Amen.
Let's see what that means. That 24 verse talks about how do we motivate. Look at different translations. It says, how do we spur one another? How do we incite? How do we arouse? How do we encourage one another for our purpose. If you look at the word encourage, then the word encourage is courage.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you need courage to walk in your purpose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need, you may have a fear of the assignment that God has called you to. Let's look at Luke 1. Look at Luke 1. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, Mary, got a big job for you.
Uh-huh.
You're going to bring in the baby Jesus, the Messiah of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
The Messiah that they've all been waiting for is coming, and he's coming through you.
Yeah.
I'm going to set you this way. God has deposited something powerful on the inside of everybody in this house.
Yeah.
He has put something very powerful on the inside of everyone in this house. And oftentimes we come together into community, to church, so we can stir it up.
Yeah.
So you won't have to walk alone in your purpose. And so here it is. Mary was given the assignment. And so when the angel Gabriel left, we get a chance to read Luke 1, around 42 through 50 or something like 39 through 42, 45, somewhere in there. Mary, the Bible says, immediately made haste.
Come on.
She received the news alone, but she immediately made haste and went to go find Elizabeth.
Right.
Y'all missed it. Yes. She went to go find community. Who is it that I can find that I can share my story with?
Yeah.
Who is it that I can find that will help me carry this thing out, that will help me walk this thing out? The pastor said, I didn't say it, I disagree with him. Why are we walking in life alone?
Yeah, come on.
And so Mary says, it's a hard assignment, but she then said, be it unto me.
Yeah.
According to your word, I don't understand everything. I'm a virgin. I don't know how to have this baby. I don't understand all the details, but I know somebody I can go talk to. Let me go find Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one question. Who is your Elizabeth?
Uh-huh.
Who is your Elizabeth? Because when she gets to Elizabeth, if you read the Bible is some good reading. When she gets to Elizabeth, guess what? The greeting at the door, Zechariah opens the door, she walks in, Mary walks in, and Elizabeth says, wow, blessed are you among women.
Yeah.
And blessed is the fruit of your womb.
Come on.
Wait a minute. If you look at verse 42, all the way through 45, Mary says nothing. All she says was hello.
Yeah.
She walked in, and Elizabeth says, girl, you carrying something.
Yeah.
Come on, when you come to church, I get to say to you, girl, you carrying something.
Yeah.
God has made a deposit in your life, Linda, and you got to do what God called you to do.
Yeah.
So when you come to church, I'm going to provoke you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to excite you. I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to encourage you to do what God has called you to do, because he got a good work on the inside of you, Christian. He's got a good work. And guess what? In community, I get to drive that out. We get to pull that out,
y'all. Yes,
we get to create a place where you become uncomfortable even.
Take your time now.
Because all that you got on the inside, all that you've been through, as Julie would say, it wasn't just for you.
Yeah.
So we are here to encourage and motivate and incite you toward action. You've been talking about writing that book a long time. It's time to write it.
Yeah.
You've been talking about getting in the choir a long time. It's okay. What is it that we're sitting on that God has put in us?
Yeah.
Out there alone, Mary would not have been able to accomplish what God had called her to do. She gets to Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, girl, you somebody. Blessed are you says, I don't know what it is. She said, I'm telling you, you are the mother of our Lord. She don't know whether she needed encouragement. Clearly she knew she needed something. She walked in and she incites her to action. She said, whatever God said, do it. You just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have all the details, baby girl. She said, well, guess what? As your cousin, I'm telling you, go ahead and do it.
My God.
Elizabeth respected what she was hearing.
Right.
And when you're part of this body, guess what we're going to do? We're going to induce your labor.
Amen.
We're going to provoke you to your purpose. We're going to push you to action.
Yeah, yeah.
Here it is. I'm done. Here it is. She says, guess what? I'm not going to let you settle for less than God's best.
My Lord. Woo. My Lord.
When we come together as church, as community, guess what? We will not leave anybody stuck. We came to release you today from your stuck place. Amen. And we're asking you today to spring forward into what God has called you to do. We had to provoke you to your purpose. Listen, Elizabeth, I'm saying she was pregnant with John, but she respected what Mary was carrying.
Right, right.
She valued what Mary was carrying. Because guess what? Everybody had their own side, and she never said, right. Well, I come in and pick me to get Jesus. You could have had John. I wouldn't have a problem carrying Jesus. No, she said, I'm going to do what God gave me to do so I can get my grade, and you do what God gave you to do so you can get your grade.
You're right.
Everybody got a report card. Yeah. You got a report card, and I'm done. I love this about this lady. I said she was carrying a good word, and Elizabeth supported her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She said, I want you to walk in God's will.
Right.
So I'm going to support you. Blessed are you among women. She said, you are powerful, and blessed is she who believed. Everything Gabriel said, she said, go ahead and believe it. Go ahead and believe it. It's going to be a fulfillment of everything that he said.
Wow.
And guess what? I'm going to walk with you. What's beautiful about this story? I'm done. What happens is Elizabeth gets done sharing with Mary, and Mary, in 46, just goes into a worship.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She says, my soul does matter.
Yeah.
You need to be close enough to some people that you can see what God is doing and you can provoke.
Come on.
Yes.
Say, yeah, you can do it, Tristan.
Yeah.
Yes, you heard God correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And worship, Mary goes to a worship and she said, lonely me that God would put little on me.
Yeah.
Big enough of me.
To carry the Messiah.
My Lord. Yeah.
Wow.
So he has entrusted you with that thing. And you know what that thing is? He's entrusted you with the gift of encouragement,
yeah.
The gift of hospitality, the gift of leadership, the gift of teaching, whatever it is. He has entrusted it to you. Mary, what you going to do with it? And she said yes without having all the details.
Yeah.
Gotta watch the book, Paris and Train. And bring forth the gift that God has called you to do. I don't do it as well as she does. I don't do it as well as he does. No, go ahead and do it. And let God get the glory. And he'll give you the empowerment that you need. Come on. Holy Ghost will give you. Because guess what? Mary had hope.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit will give you everything you need to fulfill the assignment. Just believe that God is with you.
Yeah.
And the community is with you.
Amen.
Everything God said happened the way exactly the way the angel Gabriel said it was going to happen. And all Mary said was yes.
Amen.
All she said was yes.
Yes.
So when you come around here, I want you to understand. We're going to remind you often that God has made a deposit in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing with that?
Yeah.
It's going to yield some results.
Right.
There's a benefit in what God has called you. And we need your gift. Come on.
Amen.
The world needs your gift.
Worldly.
I think I said in one of our women's things, we had all had the little Christmas bowls. I said, it's not an arrogant statement, but you are a gift to this world.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are a gift to my soul.
Yeah.
You are a gift to your anybody got a job. You are a gift to that job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring what God has put in you with you. Show up with it. Because it makes the world better. It makes community better. It makes this church better. Yeah. We can't be all we need to be in the church until you show up.
Yeah, yeah, amen. Yeah, yeah.
Bring what God has put in your hands. It's not Mary's gift, it's Elizabeth. It's your, it's a song we say, I've got a blessing on my name on it, that's beautiful. That's about shucks. But guess what? The blessing is, guess what?
Come on, come on.
God wants me to walk. That's what my blessing, I'm walking in my purpose. That's the blessing.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
That's the blessing. That he thought enough for me.
Amen.
To give me anything to do on this program. To put my name on the program. I think Paul said it like this. She said, do your speaking part. Take your speaking part of this body, this community, needs you. God was not confused when he selected you for that assignment. Yeah. He was not confused when he put you in this community.
Yeah.
He was not confused when he put you in this church. We're just here to provoke you to your purpose.
Amen. Amen. We thank her. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful. We want to hear. We didn't want to just be the only one up here alone. Amen. So we brought in somebody else to make us strong. All right. But listen, quickly, let me give you my little few things. If we can close this thing out this morning. I guess one good thing about not having the other service, we might go a little bit over. We're going to definitely go a little bit over. Listen, when you're talking about the power, that's what goes in that, you would say treasure of the community, the power of being home strong. That's what goes in that blank. Home is supposed to make you strong. Home makes you strong. So rather than being home alone, we want you to be home strong.
Okay.
When home feeds you and carries you and stands behind you, you become stronger at home. Listen, look at those first verses. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other to succeed. Let me give you some illustration. There's a play in football called the tush push. Y'all hear about the tush push? Y'all know what tush is. Tush is what you sit on. Tush push. And basically this play, Philadelphia runs this play a lot. It's the tush push. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Y'all remember Philadelphia played in the Super Bowl? And what they do better than anybody is when they have a third down, and you need about 2 or 3 yards, Jalen Hurts keep the ball on a quarterback's knee.
Right.
Amen. But as he gets to the line and meets the defense, there are other players on the Eagles that will come behind him and push him over and get 2 or 3 extra yards, and they almost always make a first down.
Okay.
Why? Not because Hurt did it by himself.
Right.
His team, I wish I had a winner, gets behind him and pushes him.
Come on.
And as his team pushes him, he's so strong that the best defense can't stop him.
That's good.
All right.
That's good.
Tush.
Push.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all what tush means in the church.
Okay.
Tell you what it means. But tush, we think put that trust until something happens.
Yes.
All right. Tush, trust until something happens.
Uh-huh.
And then when you push, you pray until something happens.
Right. Yeah.
So, when there's somebody in your church that you need to get their back because they're trying to make some yards for God. They're trying to succeed on God's behalf. They're trying to do what God told them. First, you need to trust God until something happens. But secondly, you need to pray until something happens.
Amen.
So when you pray, when you trust until something happens, and you pray until something happens, you are just like the eagle. Get behind Jalen Hurts, and you're trying to push your brother or your sister forward. Amen. You're trying to gain the yard that God wants because you want to win. You want the victory.
Yeah.
And you become almost unstoppable.
Yeah, Lord.
Amen.
We got to use the tush push.
Come on.
It'll work on the field, but it'll work in church too.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. It'll work in church.
Amen.
That's why he said, Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I build my church. And when they use this tush push, that gates of hell, the power of hell, the most important strong part of hell, cannot stop them from doing what I have for them to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because we can better succeed together.
Yeah. Together.
than we can.
Amen.
And then it talks about when two lie together. You know, when you're laying by yourself, and they got to remember, these are talking about soldiers. This is back before that heater and all this. And you out in the desert.
Right.
And sometimes in the desert, even though we're talking about desert being hot, but at night, sometimes the cold winds get cold.
Right.
And the soldiers out there, amen. And what they didn't have all this stuff we have today. All they had for heat, they had to get close to each other.
Right.
And I'm trying to tell you in life, all of us will experience this in life. Amen. Sometimes you will experience a cold front in your life.
Yes.
Has anybody here ever experienced a cold front?
I like that.
If you're a leader, supervisor, manager, you're going to experience a cold front in your life. But sometimes you won't make a decision, and the people working under you won't like that decision. And they're going to challenge you, and they're going to be cold.
Towards
you. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes in your own family, folks be cold because they don't like the decisions you make.
Woo-wee.
If you ever experience a cold front, it's always good to have a community that can bring you warmth.
Yeah.
When everybody else is treating you coldly, if you got a community that can come by your side and say, yeah, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're here together.
Yeah.
When everybody tell you need somebody, amen. When a cold front comes in your life, I need somebody to call me up and take you home.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? Because this world can't be a cold place to live.
Amen.
When you're feeling down.
Amen.
Yeah. Life is in the cold front.
Yeah.
And you feel like the north and keep on blowing. And you, amen. But it's good to have somebody that can come with warm words.
Amen.
Call me hard action.
Amen.
I know you had a hard week. I just bought this plate over here
because
I realized you're going through some difficulties this morning.
Right.
I invite you out to come moving. They'll do something to encourage you. They'll give you a card of encouragement because they know you are going to a cold front.
My God.
Watch them before we're in church. Said, I wonder if they're going to
a cold front.
And I can tell you if they're going to a cold front. If they're a leader, they're going to a cold front.
Amen.
Because leaders are always misunderstood.
Yeah.
You always have people say, I don't like this. And then they stop speaking to you.
Right.
Folks, you don't fault them to keep their job, but they didn't deserve it. But they didn't know. You went behind closed doors when nobody was looking. And the man said, you need to get rid of them. Because they ain't doing their job. She said, oh, let me work with them longer. She got potential. He got potential. Don't give up on him now. And you did all you can. But now, because of a decision that you made as a leader, you experiencing a cold front.
Jesus.
It's good to have a warm.
Yes, Lord.
Warmth come to you. And then it says if a man fall.
Yeah.
If a man fall, and he by himself. And has nobody, it's bad because you don't got nobody to help you up. Y'all seen that commercial, I'm falling? And I can't get up?
Yeah.
Oh, she by herself. But oh, somebody that is, you know, amen. You don't have to worry about it. You have to worry about that when you by yourself. But amen, if you go to Bethsaida or any other church that's a real church, when you falling, amen, you only have to say, I'm falling. Yeah. I'm struggling with this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm falling.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get up out of this addiction. I'm trying to get up out of this sin.
My
I'm trying to
God.
Get up out of this place. But God don't want me in the place. God too much for me.
My
but
God.
Hey, amen. You got to have somebody that's going to go by and care enough to pick you up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
I've fallen financially. And I need somebody to pick me
thank
up.
Thank you, Lord God.
I've fallen spiritually. Need somebody to pick me up. My marriage is falling apart. I need somebody to help me to pick it up.
Jesus.
My God.
Can't do it by yourself.
Jesus.
We got to have one another. Let me close. So.
Thank you, God.
Lastly, it says
thank you,
a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated.
It's true. And defeated.
But two.
Yeah.
Stand back to back.
Come on now.
Okay. Come. Because you can't get. I got to have somebody to have my back.
Come on.
Listen, as long as they're in front of you, you might be able to work with them.
Right. Yeah.
But when they get behind you,
come on now.
You can't see them. You can't punch behind you. Amen. You can't even kick good behind you.
Yeah.
But you better have somebody to have your back.
Right.
Yeah.
You better have somebody to stand up for you and protect you. Even in a thing that you can't see. You don't understand what's going on. You better have somebody praying for you. Yeah. Amen. There ought to be somebody that even though you don't know, but they're praying for you.
Yeah.
Had you on their mind.
Yeah.
I'm so glad somebody was praying for me. After all the things I went through, I reason why I'm here, I know somebody. So a whole lot of you in this room, y'all had my back. You prayed for me.
Yeah.
Had my back. Yeah. Had me on your mind.
Yeah.
Had them on my mind. Had them going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had them struggling.
Yeah.
Keep them struggling. Let me close this. For this community. And that last one. Because we become strong.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going through it, sometimes you see something happen. Like in Uvalde, when all those kids got killed, and you'll see a little after that event happened, you'll see a sign that goes and say, Uvalde is strong.
Yeah.
When something tragic happens in your life, something happened in that community that you've all been strong.
Yeah.
That means you've all been went through something. Mm-hmm. Something that tore them completely apart.
God.
But because they got a community,
they're
there for one another.
Right.
Supporting one another.
Yeah.
Believing in one another. Encouraging one another. And I want us, amen, to always, if you hear, to be you say, I'm bestseller strong. Because when I go through something that I can't handle on my own, when I have a surgery upcoming, or when I lost a loved one, or when I lost my job, or whatever I'm going through, I don't have to worry about it. Because I'm bestseller strong.
Yeah.
I'm bestseller calling on the God of bestseller on my behalf. They're calling upon Jesus on my behalf. My strength comes from people, my community, that's there for me. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to walk alone.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. When the light bill too high, you don't have to walk alone.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. When you can't make it, amen, because you got more bills than money, you don't have to walk alone.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord God.
Everybody else turn their back on you, don't have to walk alone.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because God's been in for now. And I want to close. That last one, y'all. That last one, I'm going to finish and we're going to be out of here. I'm doing too bad, really. The truth about Christ's community. The truth about Christ's community. It said Deuteronomy 31:8. Christ said, hey, I'm here. Basically, all those verses tell me Christ said, I'm here. I won't leave you.
Yes, Lord.
I'll forsake.
Thank you, Lord.
You're never alone.
My Lord.
See,
Lord.
The greatest community is because you got a connection with Him. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you.
Yeah.
I don't care how rough it gets, Jesus is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emmanuel said, God with us. Whatever you want, remember, Emmanuel, He came on Christmas, and God is with us.
Yeah.
He's with you, Lord, till the end of the age.
Yes.
I'll be with you always. He'll never leave you.
He's
He'll never leave you.
Yeah.
Never alone. Yeah. Never alone. free. He was already there for you.
Thank you. Son of God, who came because he loved us so much.
remember what he went through on my behalf. And each time on the first Sunday, you know, I'm doing the back and do the first Sunday, some people do the more, one Sunday, some do the more, and once a year. So we just do good on the first Sundays for now. And it's each time we do, we're trying to remember what he's done for us. Amen. I'm with you, sir. If you want to really want to love you, think about what he went through for you. That's where you really want somebody else. Think about what they went through for you. So he would go all up for us. Amen. So as you said, as we observe this thing, also we got to look at our own lives. And say, God, you did so much for me. You went through so much for me. It's amazing that I can be loved. So now you look at my own life. Say, God, in light of what you've done for me, am I reflecting you a little bit like I should? The areas of sin, disobedience, or the areas that you haven't surrendered, this is a good time to do it as we reflect. So as we're about to take of this, I want to take a moment first. Let's have us a thank you. And thank God how good it's been to you. And then think about your own life and how you reflect and what it is to others. How you live like he's asked you to live in the times you've blown. But he's still forgiving you. And then ask him for his power to do a better job and the power you can live in the upcoming month where people can see him in your life. Greater, brighter, as a brighter light and stronger soul than they did last month. So bear in mind, let's take a moment, stop and where you are. Share the good God that you are. Amen. And with those things in mind, these elements, the bread that represents the body of our Lord, and the fruit of the vine that represents his blood. And as we take the pretend of these elements, we say the only way we can live a successful Christian life is by Jesus giving us. With that in mind,